Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, 10 Myths About Israel by Ilan Pappy is a concise, argument-driven work that challenges mainstream narratives about the creation and development of the Israeli state and its ongoing conflict with Palestinians. Written by a historian known for emphasizing Palestinian experiences and for questioning official Israeli accounts, the book is structured around 10 widely repeated claims that, in Pappy's view, obscure key historical realities. Rather than offering a neutral survey, it functions as a critical intervention, inviting readers to reconsider familiar talking points about 1948, statehood, security, diplomacy, and the meaning of democracy in a state that defines itself in ethno-national terms. Pappy connects historical episodes to contemporary policy debates, arguing that popular myths shape public opinion and enable strategies that perpetuate inequality and displacement. The result is a short, accessible entry point into a larger historiographical and political dispute, aimed at readers who want a clearer sense of what is being contested when people argue about Israel and Palestine. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, myths as a political framework. Not just historical mistakes. A central theme is that myths are not merely innocent misunderstandings, but organizing stories that shape what policies seem reasonable and what forms of violence appear justified. Pappy treats the 10 myths as a kind of public curriculum repeated in media, education, and diplomatic language. In this approach, correcting a myth is not only about replacing one fact with another, it is about revealing how certain narratives define the boundaries of debate. For example, if the conflict is framed primarily as an ancient or religious feud, then modern questions of law, land, citizenship, and rights can be sidelined. If Israel is framed as a uniquely embattled democracy surrounded by irrational enemies, then exceptional security measures can be normalized. Pappy's method emphasizes how historical framing influences moral framing, who is seen as a victim, who is expected to make concessions, and whose displacement is treated as regrettable but inevitable. The book, therefore, uses myth busting as a gateway to discuss power, archives, memory, and the interests served by dominant accounts. Even readers who disagree with Pappy's conclusions can use this lens to evaluate how public narratives are built and maintained. Secondly, reinterpreting 1948 and the origins of the Palestinian refugee crisis. One of the most contested areas in Israel-Palestine history is what happened around 1948, including the end of the British Mandate, the war, and the mass displacement of Palestinians. Pappy challenges the common claim that Palestinians left mainly by choice or at the urging of their leaders. He argues instead that the refugee crisis should be understood as connected to deliberate strategies of depopulation and to wartime actions that made continued residence impossible for many communities. This topic matters because interpretations of 1948 are not only about the past, they determine present debates about responsibility, reparations, and the right of return. If displacement is treated as an accidental byproduct of war, then moral and legal accountability can be minimized. If it is treated as systematic, then the conflict appears less like a tragic misunderstanding and more like an ongoing question of rights and restitution. Pappy also links the language used to describe 1948, such as independence and catastrophe, to competing national memories. The book encourages readers to examine how archives, testimonies, and later state policies are used to support or deny particular accounts of origin and legitimacy. Thirdly, democracy, ethno-nationalism, and the question of equal citizenship. Another major topic is the tension between presenting Israel as a liberal democracy and maintaining a state structure that prioritizes a particular ethno-national identity. Pappy argues that it is insufficient to evaluate democracy only by elections and parliamentary life. Instead, he focuses on how citizenship, land allocation, movement, and legal regimes distribute power between groups. This line of argument typically examines the status of Palestinian citizens of Israel, as well as the different legal and administrative conditions faced by Palestinians in the occupied territories. The broader point is that democratic self-description can coexist with practices that systematically disadvantage a minority or a population under control without equal political rights. Pappy uses this topic to critique international discourse that treats the conflict as a dispute between two equal sides rather than a relationship shaped by asymmetry. He also challenges the assumption that the problem is only a temporary occupation that can be neatly separated from the nature of the state itself. By emphasizing structures rather than isolated incidents, the book invites readers to ask how laws and institutions define belonging, security, and national identity, and how those definitions influence everyday life, access to resources, and the possibility of a genuine political settlement. Fourthly, security narratives and the logic of permanent emergency. Pappy devotes significant attention to the way security is used as the dominant lens through which Israeli policies are explained and defended. In common public discourse, security often functions as a trump card. Actions that would otherwise raise ethical or legal concerns are recast as reluctant necessities. The book challenges this by asking how security claims are produced, which threats are amplified, and how the concept of defense can slide into a framework of control. This topic explores how the language of counterterrorism and self-defense can normalize restrictions on movement, surveillance, collective punishment, and large-scale military operations, while pushing the underlying political issues out of view. Poppy's approach is to link security rationales to long-term territorial and demographic goals, arguing that a focus on immediate threats can obscure structural drivers of violence. He also highlights how international actors often accept the security frame, which shapes diplomacy and media coverage, leading to uneven scrutiny of state force versus non-state violence. For readers, this topic offers tools to distinguish between legitimate security needs and the political uses of emergency. It encourages evaluating not only stated intentions, but also patterns, proportionality, and the cumulative impact on civilian life. Lastly, peace process assumptions and the limits of conventional solutions. The book also critiques standard assumptions embedded in decades of peace process language. Poppy questions whether negotiations premised on balancing two national movements have been structured in a way that can address displacement, unequal power, and entrenched settlement realities. He argues that focusing narrowly on diplomatic rituals and summitry can become a substitute for addressing core issues such as refugees, borders created through force, and the rights of people living under occupation. This topic typically challenges the idea that the conflict is primarily a misunderstanding waiting for better mediation, or that it can be solved without confronting historical responsibility and present-day inequality. Poppy's perspective often emphasizes how facts on the ground, including settlements and fragmented Palestinian geography, shape what is feasible and how incremental agreements can entrench rather than resolve injustice. He also raises questions about the role of external powers and how their priorities influence which outcomes are considered realistic. For readers comparing this book to more traditional conflict overviews, this section signals that Poppy is less interested in technical bargaining details and more interested in the moral and structural foundations of any future arrangement. It encourages considering rights-based frameworks alongside, or instead of, purely territorial compromises. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a compact but forceful challenge to widely circulated narratives about Israel and Palestine, including students, journalists, policy-minded readers, and general audiences seeking a different angle from mainstream introductions. It can benefit a reader's life by sharpening critical thinking about how historical stories shape present-day politics. By treating public narratives as arguments that justify real-world outcomes, it helps readers evaluate claims more rigorously, notice framing devices, and ask better questions about sources, responsibility, and power. It is also useful for readers who feel overwhelmed by the conflict's complexity, because the myth structure provides an organized way to engage with disputed issues without starting from an encyclopedic history. Compared with many similar books that either present a neutral timeline or focus narrowly on diplomacy, Poppy's work stands out for its clarity of thesis and its willingness to connect 1948, occupation, and peace process discourse into a single interpretive framework. Even if a reader disagrees with his conclusions, the book is worth buying as a strong, readable statement of an influential critical position, and as a prompt to consult additional perspectives with a more informed sense of what is at stake. If you would like to support Ilan Poppy, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.